And our next speaker is Dr. Jennifer Swanberg. She's a professor of social work at the University of Maryland, and today she will talk about occupational injuries on Thoroughbred Horse Farm, a description of Latino and non-Latina workers' experiences. Welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for coming to our session this afternoon. I'm just going to get situated here. So welcome, and again, and thank you for coming to our session during your lunchtime. As Lena mentioned, I'm Jennifer Swanberg from the University of Maryland, and today I'm going to present to you a study that's part of a broader effort that's examining the occupational health and working conditions among Latino farm workers employed on thoroughbred farms, and trying to look at the differences, or not the differences, but the relationship between job conditions and injuries, and developing interventions to decrease the incidence of injuries on these farms. Our study was funded by the National Institutes of Occupational Safety and Health through a grant to the Southeastern Center on Agriculture, Health, and Injury Prevention at the University of Kentucky. And I want to acknowledge and thank all the representatives from the 32 farms that participated in this study, as well as our two advisory councils that are informing this research, and my collaborators on this project, including Jess Miller-Clauser, who's here today. So you might wonder why study Latino workers on thoroughbred farms. After all, when people think of thoroughbreds, they think of racing and recreation sport. Well, as we know, animal production workers have, when we think about agriculture is one of the most dangerous industries in the United States. And agriculture production workers have a high non-fatal injury incidence rate across all industries. However, there's been very little research done on occupational health and injury among workers in the equine industry. And this is despite the fact that they employ over 500,000 people, full-time workers across the United States, and that it contributes to over $40 billion in our U.S. industry. And for states that have thoroughbred farms represented, it's a big part of their state's industry. Also, when we think about agriculture, we often think about Latino workers, and that Latino workers are highly represented in this population. However, we know very little about the demographic workforce of individuals that work on these farms, and we also know that Latino workers have a higher incidence of both fatal and non-fatal injuries on agricultural farms. So the overall purpose of this study was to describe the frontline workforce, to identify the job and the nature of these, to identify the type and nature of these injuries on thoroughbred farms, and also to determine whether or not there's any differences in injury type by ethnicity. I should also note that this study is part of a larger initiative, as I mentioned, to look at the occupational health of Latino farm workers. And this project is the first phase of a two-phase project where we collected data from the farms, which I'll talk about in a minute. And also we have two advisory boards that are involved in this project, a community advisory board, which are kind of worker rights advocates, and then our industry councils, which are representatives from the equine industry in our state. All right, I'm going to get rid of my notes because it's a little complicated to hold this, use the pointer, and talk to you all at the same time. All right, so to be eligible for this study, farms had to breed or board thoroughbred horses. They had to employ at least one farm worker, and they had to be located in the southeast part of the United States. We had 82 farms were part of our sampling frame, and I'd be happy to talk to you more about this at a later time when we have more time. Of those 82 farms, 62 were eligible. 32 of the farms completed at least one part of the interview of the process. 28 farms completed two parts, and then our final sample included 22 farms that provided detailed injury data. Our data collection process for the Thoroughbred Farm interview included a 20-minute phone interview, which was 73 questions that included farm and workforce demographics. It had a two-hour in-depth, semi-structured, face-to-face interview that was digitally recorded and transcribed. And this looked at a variety of different aspects related to farm work, including getting detailed information around injuries and the circumstances around these injuries. And then we also collected de-identified injury logs, which included both OSHA logs, but also workman compensation logs. So the majority of our data for this paper come from the injury logs, and that were supplemented by information from the in-depth interviews. Our primary measure is worker injuries that have occurred over the last 5 years. We chose to look at injuries across 5 years because we wanted a full breadth and depth of information around injuries, since there's so little information about this as it relates to horse farms. Ultimately, we coded all the injury data into diagnosis, distribution, and mechanism. So we looked at what was the type of injury, where was it located, what was the mechanism or action that led to the injury, and then we later grouped these into horse-related and non-horse-related injuries, and then we were able to extrapolate demographics from the injury logs. Our analysis. So ultimately, we coded a variety of different fields from the injury logs. We analyzed our data using Atlas TI, and then we cross-referenced both the farm logs with the qualitative interviews. We used univariate and bivariate analyses to answer our research questions and our objectives. So overall, when we think about our farm characteristics, what we have is these farms, we have 34, on average, about the farm size was about 34 employees. When we look at the median, it was about 13 employees, so these are not very large farms when you think about number of employees. In terms of frontline workers, these are the workers that are actually working with the horses or on the farm directly. It's about 25 or 26 workers with a median of 11 employees. Our sample is a kind of cross-representation of small, medium, and large farms, and you can see here that these farms included not only employed full-time workers, but also relied heavily on a part-time, seasonal, and contract employees workforce. We wanted to understand the types of jobs that are done on the horse farms. And we see here that all 22 farms had grooms. Grooms are individuals who primarily work with the horses, clean the stalls, and let horses out into the arenas or paddocks. We had maintenance workers, who are the workers that maintain the day-to-day upkeep of the farm, night watch workers who primarily work during foaling season, which is January to June, and stay up in the evenings to watch the mares ready for foal, and then landscape workers who do what you would expect landscape workers to do. Then there's also this category on some of the smaller farms called general farmhand, and these are individuals who do everything on the farm. So we aggregated the data, the demographic data across all 22 farms, and what you'll see here is not surprising, 83% were male, we have about half were Latino, and half were non-Latino, 43% were born in a country other than the United States, and almost an equal amount speak some other language other than English is their primary language. Okay, so mechanism of the injury. Mechanism is the action that caused the injury. So what we see is that we had 16 different primary mechanisms that we were able to determine, the most common being kicks and struck by. Struck by means being hit by the horse other than being kicked by the horse. And you see also that about more than half of the mechanism were directly horse-related. That means that the horse was directly involved in the injury that occurred. And then the other half were related to kind of non-horse events. The most kind of frequent injury in this category or mechanism was contact with equipment or tool followed by lifting. And you'll see that there's definitely a theme throughout these results. Right. Then when we look at whether or not there was differences between Latinos versus non-Latinos, you'll see here that Latinos were more likely to be struck by a horse or trampled or stepped on, whereas your non-Latinos were more likely to be injured by insects and plants. And across these other mechanisms, we didn't see any differences. Diagnosis. And when we use the term diagnosis, we use this kind of broadly in terms of kind of what was the injury as opposed to kind of a medical term of diagnosis. You see that 32% of the, about 32% of our injuries were general injuries. A general injury category was just that, a general injury that did not have enough information where we could kind of give it a diagnosis. It was, you know, a hurt finger or a twisted arm, but there wasn't a particular diagnosis, followed by sprains and contusions. What we did find as we started to look at the data is that there were some clear differences between horse-related incidences and non-horse-related incidences. You see here that general injuries and contusions were more likely to occur among by kind of non-horse-related incidences, whereas sprains and tears, cuts, irritation, and stings were more prominent among in non-horse-related incidences. Okay, now, and looking at differences between Latino and non-Latinos, there was no differences between the two. So they were equally likely to occur among either populations. This is an older version of these slides. Okay, so then we look at the distribution. So where on the body did these injuries occur? And you see here that they were most commonly to occur on wrists, fingers, and hands, arms, and shoulders. So the upper extremities, followed by foot, toes, and then back and spine. We look at differences. We find that there are differences among your non-horse and horse-related with horse-related incidences, head and chest were involved, whereas among non-horse-related, we saw the back and the spine, knee, and neck, more likely to be musculoskeletal-related. And then again, we didn't find any differences between the Latino and the non-Latino workers as it relates to the distribution of the injury. And then finally, so what were the kind of the three key takeaways from these analyses? First, that our suspicion that Latinos were very prominent on horse farms was confirmed. Over half the worker population was Latino, and unlike other areas of agriculture, there was half and half, half Latino, half non-Latino. So this has, I think, important implications for training as well as developing a safety culture, because you have non-Latinos and Latinos working side by side, and oftentimes the Latinos English was not their primary language, and their use of English was limited. Secondly, we found that, you know, a third of the injuries were these general injuries, and it's unclear whether or not these general injuries were more severe, they just didn't code them as such, or if, in fact, they're just minor injuries that occur. So for us, this kind of brings up whether or not there's an underrepresentation of some of these more minor injuries. For instance, there's a lot of research that's been done among Latino farm workers that they tend to underreport. We also see that the horse was the primary kind of source of the injuries. There's definitely differences between our horse-related tasks and our non-horse-related tasks, where non-horse-related tasks are more likely to be musculoskeletal, and your horse-related tasks related to general, more likely to have general injuries and injuries to your head and chest. And then finally, when we look at the kind of differences between ethnicity, while there wasn't any differences as it relates to distribution and diagnosis, there was differences by the mechanism. And we see that the Latinos were more likely to encounter more severe injuries, and it's unclear why that is, whether or not they're assigned to more dangerous tasks, or are they more likely to report these tasks, I mean, these injuries when they do occur. Our limitations, I like with all research, we have to kind of consider this research within the context of its limitations. And I know I'm out of time, right? So we used injury logs, and I think this is the first systematic study of injuries of workers on thoroughbred farms, yet the injury logs are limited. They're limited in that workers may not report the injuries that occur. If they do report it, you have to assume that the supervisor did record it in the injury logs. So there's most likely an underreporting of these injuries that have occurred. So implications and future research. In terms of future research, spirit of time, one of the things that we believe that needs to occur is that we have to get kind of the voice of the worker, that we believe that there's a fair number of injuries that may not have been reported based on some of our previous research. So we're moving forward, and as of this week, we're launching a community-based survey with lay health educators, where we aim to collect surveys from 220 Latino farm workers in hopes of getting better information on surveillance of injuries and working conditions. So, thank you. In terms of the detail, I'm going to look to Jess, our project manager, who was the one that was looking at all these logs.
Some of the small farms actually kept their own. So there were OSHA logs, workers' compensation logs, and then informal tracking documents that we accessed. From the smaller farms, it was much more likely that they would provide their de-identified workers' compensation logs or informal tracking documents. In some cases, I actually described to them the fields that we were interested in, and they transferred information from their own logs into what I was requesting.
So they still are record keeping on their own. We don't see that a lot in regular livestock or vegetable growers.
I think it shows the importance of placement of safety because it is such a hazardous industry, and they're very interested. So many of them, I think of the 32 farms, 30 of them did have workers' compensation, even though it's not required. And they're very interested in reducing their costs because, of course, it can impose quite a bit of damage. Those are right.
Great answer. Unfortunately, we have to move on to the next speaker.
Thank you.
So great answer.